Imagine having the life of your dreams. Not temporary cash and glory, but happiness and inner peace. Explore new ways to be a creator and take your own journey into greatness. Is it possible? What does it take to make that happen? It takes the person known for extreme results. He's called the Cage Breaker and the Ultimate Catalyst. Coming back from the brink of death and now crushing it for himself and his clients, this is Your Ultimate Life Podcast with Kellen Flukiger.
Today's episode is about a really important word in terms of a personal truth and commitment statement, and that is the word commitment, which is in the title, Personal Truth and Commitment. I want to look at some definitions of commitment and what it really means, maybe in the dictionary, but maybe actually in practical use in our lives, because we abuse the word commitment terribly, and it causes a lot of pain. It causes a lot of problems in people's lives, both personally and professionally. And so if you're creating your ultimate life, you need to look at your use of the word commitment, what it means to you, and how you're using it now, and see if that is consistent with the person that you imagine yourself to be as you have and create your ultimate life. Now, in order to do that, we're going to talk again, as we always do, about what is your ultimate life. Well, remember, your ultimate life is a life of purpose, a life of prosperity, and a life of joy, and you create that life by serving others with your divine gifts. Now, that's a nice way of saying you do what you want, what you feel drawn to do, what you feel drawn to do to serve and help, and you get paid for it, you get fulfillment from it, and you live in a life of profound joy. Now, that's true whether there are setbacks or reversals or things against you and so forth, and we're going to do plenty of conversations in other episodes about setbacks and reversals and failure and negative things that happen and attitude and mind mud and all the rest of it. But right now, we're talking about the word commitment. So the three parts of this podcast are going to be, part one is wishes, part two is big wishes, and part three is real commitment. So that's the way I'm going to address this in terms of how it's what it really means and how it's used in common usage, so that you can look at it like I have and just make your own decisions about how you're using it and how you mean to use it. One of the observations I have is that we have lost the words of commitment in our society. And here's what I mean by that. What people often mean, and I won't say you because I don't know you, but what I notice is that what people often mean when they say, yep, I'll do something, will you do this? Yeah, I'll do it. What they often mean is, A, if I remember, B, if I still feel like it, C, if I don't get a better offer, D, if you don't piss me off. So if one of those four things happens between this moment and when the thing is supposed to happen, then, well, duh, you're just supposed to sort of understand, obviously, I couldn't because I got a better offer. Only you wouldn't say that. You'd say, oh, I got, this came along, so, I mean, I had to do that. And someone's just supposed to understand. Or if there's a fracas between the two of you, there's an irritation, well, then they just need to understand. Of course, then your commitment was gone because you irritated me. Or, you know, I got up, I was going to come help you do whatever, move or whatever, and I just didn't, you know, I didn't feel that good. And so, and again, you're just supposed to understand. Or last of all, I forgot. And that's supposed to be the all-encompassing blanket of forgiveness over the top of it. And you know that that's true, and here's how you know, and it's kind of funny. When we really want someone to believe us, then you hear people adding all these other things like this. No, I swear, I really will. No, I promise. No, really, you know, cross my heart. No, I promise. I really, pinky, whatever, all this stuff that we add all these words to try to emphasize that we are telling the truth this time, because we recognize, you know, internally that it isn't the case. But when we say yes, we truly mean yes. And so the mere existence of all those phrases of ornamentation to add on to our promises tells us that just the plain words of commitment, yes, I will, and that word is absolute ironclad, that doesn't exist. And so we have to add all that other garbage on top. So that's just sort of an interesting thing to think about. What does it really mean when you say yes, when you commit to something, whether it's to someone else or to yourself? So let's go to the three layers of commitment, not the three layers, but the three versions, I guess, of commitment. The first version is wishes. We say I'm like commitments. Yeah, I'm going to mow the lawn this Saturday. I'm going to clean the garage. Yeah, I'm going to start my marketing. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to lose weight. I need to do that. Yeah, I need to look that up. Yeah. And you can tell by the tonality, yeah, or the contraction, I'm going to, I spell that I-M-A-N-A. I'm going to. You can tell by the use of those kinds of words and phrases and tonality that it is not one of two things. It's not serious at all, that it's sort of a wistful thing. What I'm saying is I wish it would happen by itself and it wouldn't require any intervention or effort from me. That's one way to look at it. Another one is saying, yeah, if nothing else gets in the way and I run out of other things to do and I still, okay. And it isn't a commitment at all. And those things all fall in the category of wishes. They're very watery. They're very undependable. And if you think right now of someone in your life, I know you can think of one and maybe many who, when they say something's going to happen, you actually have no idea. No idea at all whether or not it's going to come true. Maybe you are that way. I hope not, but maybe you are. And if you are, you have the opportunity here to examine in your own mind, do I want to be that? When someone else hears me say X, what do they think? Do they trust it? Would they bet their life on it? Would they bet $1, $1,000, $1,000,000? Like, what stock do people place in the word that I speak when I say something? In terms of that I'll either do or say or be or whatever. I make a commitment to do something. So when it's weak and wobbly and weird and wishy-washy, I put that in the category of wishes. Many things we speak in the language of commitment that are truly only wishes. We wish they would happen without a lot of effort or that accidentally they would come true, and we're not really prepared to do anything about it. Now, there's nothing wrong by itself with having things where we vaguely wish they would happen. What the problem is when we don't solidly and clearly differentiate between those things and things that are true commitments. When we have fuzzy boundaries in our own mind or in our relationship with others, it can cause gigantic problems because then we become one of those people that are just undependable. Someone says, yeah, I'll do that, and you have no clue. They just say that to end the conversation or to make you feel good or whatever, and you don't know if they mean it. You don't even know if they mean it right now, let alone those other four conditions that I said earlier. You actually have no idea what's going on. So the first layer is to clearly differentiate in your own mind things that are wishes and put them in the category of wishes. I wish this would happen. I'm not willing to do anything about it. It probably never will, and I'm okay with that. So it's a wish. And then don't treat it like anything else, either in your own mind or in your relationship with someone else. The second layer here is what I call the big wish. And this is the one that most people treat as real commitments. Everybody kind of knows when things are just a wish and there's no real intention or effort behind them. You know, that's kind of obvious. Most people, though, have this thing right here, and I call it the real wish or the big wish or the strong intention, where when you say something, let's call it a strong intention, you really intend to do it. So you make a proclamation to yourself or a declaration of commitment to someone else, yes, I will help you move. Yes, I will support this activity. Yes, I will play the piano for you to sing in church. Yes, I will do this. And we have a full intention to do it. That is still not a commitment. And you'll understand that more as I get a little bit further in it. But we think it is. And we believe that firmly having an intention to have something happen is an elevated commitment. It's true. It's a promise. It's real. And we might even use the words of promise. No, I promise. I'll be there. I'll do it. I'll see it. I'll fix it. Whatever it is, I promise. And we believe that because of the depth of our intention at that moment, that that constitutes a real commitment. It doesn't. And you know that because of the number of times people have disappointed you, or you have disappointed others, or you see outside of you people disappointing each other, when you know there were promises made, real intentions exchanged, and then someone really meant to do, be, say, think, act in a certain way. So if I'm saying to you, those aren't commitments, then at this point you might be saying, well, okay, if I really intend to do something and I promise I'm going to do it and I mean it with all my heart, then what? And you're telling me that's not really a commitment, it's just a strong intention. Then what in the world is a commitment? Well, let's go there. And, you know, this is a choice that you make. What happens is if you live by strong intention only, you will still continually be disappointed. A good example is a typical sort of worn out platitude of like a New Year's resolution. I swear I'm going to whatever, go to the gym, lose weight, make more money, be nicer, whatever it is. We mean it with all our hearts. We make a promise. And then in a week or a month, we quit. That circumstance changed, our attitude changed, our feeling changed, the commitment wavered, something happened and we don't really do it. And it's like, no, I really meant to do that. But it wasn't a commitment, it was just a strong intention. And so we live with that circle, and then we learn not to trust ourselves, we learn not to trust others, we become untrustworthy, and then our word still means maybe. No matter what we promise, what it really means is maybe. And then those four things, you know, if I still remember, if I feel like it, if you haven't irritated me, and if I don't get a better offer. And maybe not quite that cavalier. If you've made a really strong intention and someone else comes with a really attractive offer, you might say, nah, I can't. I promised I'd do X, Y, Z. And that still happens. Now let's talk about real, true, and honest commitment that is guaranteed and bulletproof. A real commitment is something that starts as a strong intention, meaning it has all the language of promise, it has the full intention behind it, but then it goes much, much further because you then take steps to put in actions and structures to guarantee its delivery. So let's use an example. If you say, I need to get up earlier. Okay, that's a wish. If you say, I promise I'm going to get up earlier tomorrow so I can finish this project at work or work out or have some time to myself in the morning or whatever it is, and you set an alarm and you know that you hit snooze a lot and you just set it by your bed. And so maybe you get up some days and maybe you hit snooze some days. And you think maybe that's as good as it gets. Well, you know, I made it 2 days this week. Okay, that's good. I'm doing better. That's not a commitment. That's a strong intention. If you really want a commitment, the structures you could put in place are 5 alarms or 3, one by your bed, one across the room. You could engage the services of a friend who's going to call you at 5 in the morning. Maybe they're in a different time zone, so it's not so early for them. You give permission to your spouse to pour ice over your head. You know, you take steps, and those might be silly examples, but they illustrate the point. A real serious commitment, a real commitment, is one where you take steps and put in structures to guarantee its delivery. When you do that, then you know you have started on the road of real commitment. And I say started because it only starts there. So you can put in all the structures you want, and stuff may still intervene. Clocks can break. People can forget. You know, all kinds of stuff can happen. The next mark of a true commitment is if something goes wrong, you immediately take steps to repair it, report it, and renegotiate. So you might repair the damage that happened because you didn't do whatever you said you were going to do. So that's repair it. You recommit. And you say, I'm going to do it again. I still am. And then you change the structure so that they're better. And you might need to renegotiate the commitment. You might have said, I'm going to deliver an example. So here's an example. My wife and I, in our business, made a commitment to create YouTube videos twice a week. And the commitment was we put structures in place. We set deadlines. I have to have the video shot and written, the script, the story arc done by here, and the script written here, and the video shot here. And she curated some video assets to use as overlays and so forth, because they're quite complicated and they probably take 25 to 30 hours of work between the two of us to get them done. And we're going to do two a week, and that's 60 hours of work between the two of us, 30 each. So that was a tight, hard schedule. When we didn't make it, we immediately met and said, all right, what are we going to do? Are we going to just feel bad about the fact that we didn't make it? No, we're going to do this. We're going to use this old video because this one's not done. It's one that's older that's never been hosted, so we'll do this instead. In other words, we repaired the situation. We recommitted to our schedule, and then we moved on. So when you immediately report it, I didn't do this. It's not working like I thought. You repaired it as required and renegotiate if necessary to reiterate. A lot of R's, repair and report and renegotiate and reiterate your commitment so that it remains clear and present for you. And then you evaluate the structures you have in place to guarantee delivery and see if they're enough. Now, what does all this have to do with creating an ultimate life? Well, if you're going to change yourself into the person who is, in fact, living a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you create serving others with your divine gifts, commitment will factor highly into that. And being a person of your word, where your word is your bond, where it's invincible, where you are your word, is a big deal. I can tell you in my own life and discovery that the more I do that and live like that, the more I live every day the ultimate life. Open your heart and
this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet on